God is not hindered in the least by the hardness of men and women's hearts. No heart, including our own, is beyond God's reach. No one can erect a barrier in their heart high enough that God can't knock it down. God can turn the light of understanding on at any moment, and He can soften a hardened heart to the message of the gospel at any time without even breaking a sweat. Yet within God's sovereign plan, He has decided to use our prayers as part of His softening hearts and calling men and women to Himself. Indeed, Scripture tells us that God will hear our prayers and He will answer our prayers. This is mysterious and it's glorious, and it should give us great hope as we consider the privilege of being part of God's kingdom building. Today on Delight in the Word, Pastor Ed Fedor picks up part two of this message, and he encourages us to pray for the advancement of God's kingdom. More specifically, Pastor Fedor encourages us to pray that God would use us to proclaim the gospel message. We are to pray for boldness and winsomeness and readiness. And we are to pray that God would raise up more and more laborers to go out into the harvest to proclaim and gather in. Let's turn to the book of Acts chapter 13 and discover more about our role in God's work of building His kingdom as we together delight in the Word. God uses gospel-sharing believers to grow His kingdom. We see in verse 2 that Barnabas and Saul were set apart by God to carry the message of the gospel to sinners. And the way sinners are saved, the way anyone on the whole planet enters the kingdom of God, is through hearing and believing the message of the gospel. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Not through religious acts, not through being good, not through being a good person or anything else. Sinners need to hear the gospel, and they need to respond by faith. And what do you need to hear? What is the message of the gospel? If I asked you, what is the message of the gospel? Would you be equipped and prepared to tell me? Can you tell me in 1 minute or less? Here's what people need to hear. You need to hear that God created you and God calls you to be holy. Because God created you, you are accountable to Him. And the problem is, you are not holy. You have broken God's commands, and therefore judgment awaits you after your death. But the good news is, because God loves you, He sent His only Son to live the holy life that you couldn't live. And He died an unjust death on a Roman cross. And He was buried and rose again in victory over death and victory over sin. And the good news is, your guilt, your shame, for all of your sin can be wiped away by believing, repenting and believing in Christ and what He did for you on the cross. The most famous verse in the Bible is what? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the gospel. That's the message that sinners must hear in order to be saved from God's judgment and enter God's kingdom as an adopted son. God didn't give us another way. That's the way. They need to hear the gospel, they need to read the gospel, or in some other way receive the gospel message and then believe. And very often, God uses believing people like you and me to share this message with other people. And God appointed Barnabas and Saul for gospel sharing work. Verse 4. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They proclaimed the word. And they had John to assist them. And that became the pattern of Paul's ministry. Paul would enter a town, he would look up the local synagogues, and he would preach the Messiah in these synagogues. Because Paul's background was he was a Jew, and he was a Jewish leader. And these Jews in the synagogues would be taught to be looking for their Messiah. And so here comes Paul preaching this Messiah.
And then after that, he would expand his reach to the Gentiles in the area. Paul says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek," or to the Gentile. And that was his pattern. So we see the sovereignty of God at work, along with the responsibility of man, as we saw a couple of weeks ago. God chooses you before the foundation of the world. God draws you to himself. God convicts you of sin. God grants faith and repentance to believe. But you must believe. By an act of your will, you must repent of your sin and trust in Christ and what he's done for you. God sovereignly acts, and you must believe. And it's mysterious, and it's glorious, and it gives us hope. Especially to those of us who have loved ones who don't yet know Christ and seem far away from God right now. God is not hindered in the least by the hardness of their hearts. No one can erect a barrier in their heart high enough that God can't knock it down. God can turn the light of understanding on. He can soften their heart to the message of the gospel at any time without even breaking a sweat. The Apostle Paul is a prime example of this. You should take great hope in that. I mean, Elizabeth and I take such great comfort in that truth for the loved ones that we have in our family. So here's the Apostle Paul. And before the Apostle Paul was saved, he was a violent, aggressive persecutor of Christians. He said in Galatians 1:13, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it." That was his mission, destroy this burgeoning Christianity thing. And God saved his soul, and he became one of the most powerful messengers of the gospel we've ever seen. And if God can save someone like Paul, he can save your loved ones. And in the meantime, we wait, and it's difficult to wait. And we pray. Pray. And that's another way God uses you and I to grow the kingdom. In God's sovereign plan, he has decided to use your prayers. And he will hear your prayers and answer your prayers. In verse 3, when the Holy Spirit set apart Barnabas and Saul, it says the church fasted and prayed for them. They laid their hands on them as an act of commissioning and affirmation of their calling, and they prayed. And you should pray for the advancement of God's kingdom. What should you pray? Well, how does God work? Pray those things. Pray that God would send the message of the gospel to them through you or through some other believer. Jesus said in Matthew 9, he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Jesus said, pray earnestly for laborers. So pray for laborers. Pray that God would soften their heart to the gospel, to remove obstacles to the faith. That's how you can pray. Pray that God would soften their heart to the gospel, to remove all of those obstacles, that the Holy Spirit would convict them of their sin so that they sense their need of a Savior. That God would open their eyes to the truth and the beauty of the gospel. Pray that God would give you boldness to share the good news of the gospel. So God uses people. He uses people to share the gospel message with non-Christians. He used Barnabas and Saul. He called them directly through the Holy Spirit to a special gospel mission. And sometimes God calls people like you and me to special gospel mission. to go into full-time ministry, to go overseas to reach people in other cultures. There's some in our congregation who have strongly sensed this, the call of the Spirit to move and go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And maybe the Holy Spirit's working on your heart to be involved in some kind of significant missionary work. I'd love to see God raising up more of us out of our congregation to go and share the gospel, or church planting, or pastoral ministry. But maybe he's not calling you to that exactly. But even if God doesn't call you overseas, you are still called by God to be involved in his mission. He calls every believer in Jesus Christ to be gospel-sharing evangelists, not just pastors, not just missionaries. The gospel need is huge, and God has called every believer to be involved. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says that Jesus gave us, you and I, the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal to sinners through us. Do you make it a practice to share the gospel with non-Christians when God opens opportunities? Is that a practice of yours? Pray for boldness. Pray for love for the lost. That's how the kingdom grows. So God sovereignly acts, and he uses you and I to proclaim the gospel. And the third thing you should know is that there's opposition. Know that, number three, Satan always opposes the growth of God's kingdom. Satan always opposes the growth of God's kingdom. We see in verse 7 that the proconsul, the governor of Cyprus, Sergius Paulus, sends for Barnabas and Saul. These guys are sharing this message of salvation. He wants to hear this thing. He's well-educated. He's an intelligent man. He wants to hear this message. So they head his way. And as Barnabas and Saul are headed to see Sergius Paulus, they run into a guy named Bar-Jesus. And his name means son of Jesus or son of the Savior, which is not a little bit ironic. He was a Jewish false prophet. It says a magician. The word there is magi. You've heard this word magi. We hear it every Christmas. There's good magi and bad magi. This is bad magi. He's a guy who claims to have access to divine revelation, but he really doesn't. He was involved in occult practices. And guys like him were known to be able to interpret dreams. But he was a charlatan, a sorcerer. And he was a close advisor of Sergius Paulus. And here come these guys proclaiming God, the gospel of salvation in Christ. And Bar-Jesus doesn't like it. He's feeling threatened. Because if his boss hears this gospel message and turns his life to Christ, he might lose his status. He might lose his influence. He might lose his job. So he goes on a mission to discredit Saul and deceive his boss and turn him away from the faith. Well, it probably would have been better if he just stayed out of it. You done messed up, Bar-Jesus. In verses 9 and 10, Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. And that must have been a really serious glare. Serious glare. He saw right to the heart of it. And he says, you son of the devil, you are not a son of the Savior. You're a son of the devil. You enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy. And that's a very good description of the devil. The devil hates and opposes anything and everything that God is doing. And Paul says, "Will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" The devil hated Paul and hated this gospel that he was preaching and hated that he was preaching it to his boss. John MacArthur said, "It is well to remember the lesson of these verses. Leading someone to Christ is not merely an academic exercise, nor is it a matter of making a successful sales pitch. Rather, it involves all-out war against the forces of hell. Saul and Barnabas battled Bar-Jesus for the soul of Sergius Paulus." And any time you step out with the message of the gospel and you're sharing with somebody, just be prepared for some opposition. Don't be surprised. Ask anyone you know who regularly shares the gospel, and I'm sure you'll hear some stories. I can give you a lot myself. But there are a lot of times when you step out in faith and share the gospel with somebody and you don't sense a lot of opposition. It'll be a huge blessing. And that happens. You're sharing the gospel with someone and God made them ripe and ready. And they hear the message and they're converted and we thank God for it. It's beautiful. And other times you'll start sharing the gospel with someone and someone else will show up and they'll try to sabotage your conversation. Or they'll take a phone call in the middle of your talk. Or 1,000 other distractions. There is a very real and very serious spiritual battle going on over the souls of people that we can't always see. Eternity is on the line, and the devil wants nothing more than for you to chicken out and somebody else to sabotage your conversation and for God to lose. But here's something else you need to know, and this is really, really important. You need to know that the devil is no match for God. Satan is not equal to God. He is not God's evil opposite. The devil is a created being, and the devil is headed for the lake of fire. And let me tell you something else. I read to the end of this book, and I know you guys hate spoilers. God wins. God wins. His will be done. Jesus says in Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." God's program will not be thwarted. But still, the Apostle Peter warns us to be watchful. Be watchful for opposition. Don't be intimidated, don't be fearful, but be watchful and pray. So in verses 9 through 11, Paul deals with Bar-Jesus and the power of the Spirit. Bar-Jesus was already blind to his own sin. He was already blind to his own need of a Savior, and he was causing other people to be influenced and blinded spiritually as well. And Paul calls on God's power to make him physically blind. It was an active act of divine judgment, and in God's mercy, it was only temporary. And then verse 12, "Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord." Despite the devil's best effort, God wins, and the proconsul believes. Sergius Paulus was impressed by what he saw from Paul. He saw this miraculous sign. The miracle was a sign that Paul was an authentic messenger of God. And that was the main purpose of apostolic miracles, to affirm the authenticity of the messengers of God bringing this gospel message. But he didn't get saved because he saw a miracle. The proconsul was cut to the heart when he heard the message. And the Spirit opened his eyes, and saved his soul. Now, the people that you and I share with are not going to be very impressed by our miracles. I'm not very good at it. But the thing that will commend you as an authentic messenger of God when you bring the gospel message will be a changed life. When you come to faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence and starts doing a work in your life to change you, to be more like Christ. You're going to live a life in front of others that's just not possible, because God is the one empowering you to change and to grow and to be more like Christ, to love like Christ loved. And so when you share the gospel, that message is going to resonate, because your life is going to commend this gospel, and it will shine light on Christ and give him glory. We don't need miracles. The miracle is a changed life. God is actively working to grow his kingdom, and God uses you and I to be ambassadors for Christ. And the devil is working to mess it up, and God wins. That's what's going on. That's how God is growing his kingdom. And I'm constantly amazed that God decided to use people like you and me, schlubs like you and me. Sorry, I guess I'm the schlub. You guys are non-schlubby. But he uses people like you and me to bring this message of the gospel and see people won to Christ and grow his kingdom. Are you praying for the lost that are around you? Are you involved in this harvest of souls? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that you have sent your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior, to be the one to absorb our judgment in our place. I pray that anyone here who does not know you yet as Savior, Lord, would you work on their hearts? Would you soften them? Would you open their eyes to the glory of the gospel? Save souls, I pray. I pray that you would help each one of us who knows you to be a witness for Christ. Give us courage and boldness, I pray. Give us a heart of love for those who need to know you. I pray, Lord Jesus, as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, prepare our hearts, I pray. Pray that you'd convict us of our sin, that we would bring it to you and confess it. Help us not to receive the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Be glorified as we pass the plates, as we remember your death and your resurrection for sinners like us. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you demonstrated, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Is the Holy Spirit working on your heart, calling you into missions? The answer for each and every believer should be a resounding yes. We are called to be involved in missions, whether it is with our next-door neighbor or a group of people halfway around the world. God calls every believer in Jesus Christ to be gospel-sharing evangelists, not just the pastors and missionaries. The gospel need is huge. Therefore, wherever we are, if we are in Christ, we are part of God's mission. In other words, we are ambassadors for Christ, and God is making his appeal to sinners through us. Do you make it a practice to share the gospel with non-Christians when God opens opportunities? Does your life, how you speak, how you act, the decisions and choices you make, by the power and indwelling help of the Holy Spirit, commend the gospel message to others? Pray for boldness, pray for love for the lost, and be equipped. But we must also know this: as we grow in boldness to share the gospel, Satan will grow in his opposition, for Satan always opposes the growth of God's kingdom. Remember how vehemently the evil one worked against Paul? The devil hated Paul and hated the gospel he was preaching. Therefore, don't be surprised when the evil one comes at you. tempting you to stay silent out of discouragement, confusion, or unexplained timidity. Yet Satan is no match for God. Satan is not God's equal. The devil is a created being, and he is headed for the lake of fire. Indeed, as it says in 1 John 4:4, he, that is God, who is in us, is greater than he who is in the world. Yes, we are to be watchful and ready for Satan's opposition, but we are not to be intimidated or fearful, for God will have his own, and God's effectual call never goes out that it isn't answered. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to listen again, you can find the program on our website at delightintheword.org, or you can find the program where you listen to your podcasts. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. Please join us next time as we, together, delight in the Word.